Oh, that's awkward now, isn't it? Okay, okay, hold on.
Your audience.
I'm Andy Wright, founder of Never Not Creative and CEO of Streamtime. And really, I just want to see better, happier, healthier creative businesses so that we can all thrive in an amazing industry that we all love so much.
That's your background, right? Do you mind
speaking? Agencies, yeah.
You've been around all the big guys, Landor's.
Yeah, so I ran Interbrand, lived in Melbourne for a bit, ran Interbrand.
Yeah.
Landor, RGA, For the People.
Were you on the tools or mainly managing?
By that time, yeah. Mainly managing. And I was more kind of strategic, so that was would be where I'd spend most of my time. But yeah, always interested in trying to do new things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like bringing new ways of working in. Like there were times when we did this thing once at Interbrand, which was, the idea was a brand in a day.
Okay.
Where this guy had come, I just saw a tweet on Twitter, obviously. about, hey, I need someone to brand my food truck.
I remember this story, yes.
Have you heard the story? Yeah, I had a deep fascination with food trucks at the time.
Is this a taco one?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I responded to Attila and said, hey, well, I've got a team. We'll come and do your food truck. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. He goes, so what do you guys do? And he had heard of Interbrand, actually. And so it was hard to just take on a pro bono taco truck, right?
Like,
can't really sell
especially
it.
Especially Interbrand, the whole team.
Yeah. Exactly. So what I said was, hey, we're going to do this differently. And I was very fascinated by like agile thinking, sprints and all that kind of stuff at the time, the Google sprint, that thing. And so I said, hey, what if to the team, we do this on a Saturday.
Right.
And we take all our stuff and we just set up studio in this guy's kitchen. And that's what we did. So literally you had like, I don't know how many of this, there's probably 25, 30 people from
in someone's house.
One of the world's best branding studios.
Yeah.
Right? He had like a commercial kitchen where he prepped a lot of stuff.
Right, okay.
So we went over and we broke up the day. We had project managers like making sure we were keeping to time. In the morning it was all kind of a bit of sort of conceptualizing and research and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
One team took on customer experience, another team took on identity, another team took on like what do we put up in menus and all that kind of stuff. And it was this mad 12-hour day. And we had Attila, who's the guy whose truck it was, just making us tacos all day and the best food.
Nice.
The best food.
Yeah.
That's what we paid off.
Yeah, and so and then like the real story is that of course we didn't manage to get it all done in a day. We got a lot of the idea done and we got a lot of the concepts.
You had the core.
And then, and then it was, we had to get the artwork right, the printing, we had to get it to fit on the truck.
It's the last 20% of the project
is the big bit. So it's things like that where I go, let's work differently.
Nice.
Yes.
And that always kind of just drives me a little bit more. And that was a good.
That's really cool. The food truck still exists somewhere?
No, it doesn't. And Attila actually, he's still kind of in the game, but he just closed his restaurant, unfortunately. Because it's very hard for hospitality at the moment. But ten years ago.
Wow. Yeah.
There is a case study up and a video of the whole thing, which is really good. The video is
cool.
Great. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I think I've heard about the form of payment. I don't know if you mentioned this before because I was getting the mic ready, but part of the form of payment was to eat tacos like forever. Is that true? Or is that like
no religion? Friends. Yeah. So,
like free tacos?
I do pretty much, if ever I'm going by and I pop in.
Okay.
Attila would normally give me some, he gives me labne bread and this chiltepil, which my wife loves, which is like this kind of seeds and grains and spices and stuff.
Nice.
Is that the chili?
Yeah, chiltepil. You heard of it?
It's one of the hottest ones.
It's not one chili. It's more like a mix of stuff.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought chiltepil was one chili and it's like a little sphere, like a pinball ball.
Maybe,
I don't know, but it's like extremely hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you
would know.
Oh, we know. Yeah. There was a wings, chicken wings place back in Mexico called like that, and the hottest sauce was made out of chiltepín.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have, you wouldn't want to order that one.
No, I mean, I don't even order the lowest one, so yeah. I don't even try that one. Man.
Yeah, man.
No, awesome. To hear that, because I feel like when we were trying to research a little bit about you, you have so many things going on.
Fingers and a lot of pies.
Yeah, there's so many parts to you, which is interesting. I think that speaks to the point you were saying earlier, that you just like to take on different projects.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm able to do that now because I've kind of come out of agency land.
Yeah.
You know, there's not as much rushing around and fighting fires and responding to clients. So the day job is running Streamtime, which is a, you know, a software company.
Yeah.
And it's, if anything, it's more fascinating because I actually now get to work with like 1,500 different agencies because we, you know, that they're our customers.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the work that we do, or that I do around Never Not Creative, mental health and all that kind of stuff, also now I get to kind of bleed into Streamtime.
Mm.
So for Streamtime, it's really, for us, it's about this bigger goal of creating happier, healthier, creative businesses.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not something you'd normally hear from a project management software.
Not at all. Right?
But because a lot of us have like the lived experience of being in the agency world, mm-hmm. and we know that we'd like to make it better.
Yeah.
Then actually, and we're of no illusions that software can do that. Right?
Yeah.
Don't think that you get an app and suddenly everything's fine.
Yeah.
But it can help, and we can actually coach and nudge and put the right things into the product to help you make and lead you to the right decisions.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff has been talked here, right? Which is, you know, how to, let's put it what it is, which is how to manipulate behavior.
Right.
To get people to consume more or scroll further.
Get their attention, as Alex was saying before,
We like that idea, but for good, right? So maybe we can use our software to manipulate better decisions, not burning your team out, looking ahead so that you don't get into positions where someone has to come in on the weekend.
Yeah.
And also the other thing that we've just introduced with it is this thing called the happiness coach.
Yeah.
Where the way Streamtime works is we got rid of timesheets and you basically have a to-do screen and you drag a task from to-do to done and that's it, it's done. Like your time got recorded, it goes on the job, it all updates in real time. The last thing that you get to do at the end of the week is, hey, how are you feeling?
Okay.
And you drag that to do onto an emoji, because emojis.
You can't go wrong with emojis.
Yeah, exactly.
And you then give us a little bit more information, which is, and it's related to the SMART framework that I talked about before. So SMART framework is a framework built by the Future of Work Institute.
When you say, see if I understood correctly, when you say you give us information, you mean you give us Streamtime or you give your team?
No, so you put it to, you give it to Streamtime.
Okay.
So you basically, it comes down, you stick it onto the little modal pops up.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, I'm really happy because work was really stimulating this week.
Right.
Gotcha.
And if you want, you can write a couple of notes and you can also associate it with a job. Like if there was a job that you've been working on a week and you kind of wanted to call it out, then you know, that's a good thing as well. And we kind of just collect that data at the moment. It's in its infancy. But it means that we can start to share with leaders the overall levels of happiness in the team and what's driving it. Importantly, I should say that information is 100% confidential. So we do not, like, you don't say that you're unhappy and then it goes straight to your boss and your boss goes, oh God, grumpy, get rid of him.
Right. We
wanted that other person anyway.
Right.
So that's not what happens. And in fact, the data is owned by the individual.
Okay.
Until they choose to share it.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
And so if they want to be able to kind of share it and they've kind of like been, I guess I kind of do it like, it's a bit like journaling.
Okay.
Because you've been writing notes.
Right,
you've been saying how you've been feeling.
How you've been feeling this particular day and everything.
Yeah. And then if you choose to share that with your boss, then great. Right? But the boss will see the trend of, you know, look, how's the happiness over time?
Right.
So that's kind of
That's a massive leap from the first time I used Streamtime.
Yeah.
When it was, I'm going to say, a glorified spreadsheet.
It was
hard to use, man. Mm. And then you guys did the rebrand, and now you're talking about, you know, a way to give feedback in a more human way. It's just like complete opposites.
Yeah. And that's what we want to achieve with it. I think it's, But that's the opportunity to, one, make software more human, but make these businesses more sustainable. Like, we can't just keep churning people up and spinning them out, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So a lot of that is what we're doing. And, like, you know, we can take that further. We're looking at how we can help you understand how you're doing versus other businesses, right? Like yours.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, you never know whether you had a good month, right? You know whether it was better than last month, and you know if it's better maybe if you look back far enough than last month, last year, right? But not necessarily against, you know, like cohorts of agencies like you, for example. And we can also start to say, look, actually, you know what? There's obviously other stuff going in the world that's affecting people right now, and happiness levels are lower. But the one thing we've seen so far, and because I put that smart work framework into the research that we did as well, is that tolerable demands in this industry are not tolerable. Stimulation is good. Support isn't too bad. I think we're quite good at, like, we're nice people on the whole, supporting people. But also agency, and I think this will vary depending on cultures of different businesses, but the ability you have to decide when you do the work and how you do it can be a problem. Like, we can see that spike because, you know, you feel like you have no control.
Yeah. It's also interesting, as you speak, I'm thinking, do you think the fact that now you're able to kind of communicate with this software and sort of say, this is how I feel, helps you normalize the whole, you know, even the conversation of, like, you know what, actually, I felt really bad this week. Maybe I feel more empathized to speak to somebody about it. They may be going through the same thing. You know, it's there, right?
It's reflective.
Visualizing it. Exactly.
Right? Like, and you don't often get the time to, or take the time to, check in with yourself.
No,
like, actually, it can just help checking in with yourself and go, you know, I didn't have a great week.
Or, there are no reminders either at all. Like, if you don't do it to yourself, there's
nobody's going to
ask.
I think Slack recently introduced a feature where, or inside your, under your status, you can say, I'm not feeling well, but not like sick.
Right.
It's just like, I'm not mentally ready to talk to anybody
so
right now.
The language around it is improving as well.
And that, I think that, what do you think about introducing, so things like that throughout, you know.
Yeah, the thing I'm very wary of is, like, is putting in functionality or capability that does help, not add to the problem. So, for example, you know, like notifications. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's can compare phones probably with the red dots have.
I don't have my phone here with me, but I do.
I can tell you that mine. It doesn't have that many because I can't stand.
What's
your email on the
OCD looking at that? Yeah, I can't tolerate that.
16,217 unread emails, 17 Slack messages, 10 LinkedIn messages. Right
now, can you take a screenshot of that?
We'll
try to include it here.
Thanks, man. I'm at peace with that now.
Right. Okay.
It's gone too far. I can't control it, and I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Okay,
and
good on you, because that gave me a headache just looking at it.
And so when it came to designing notifications into Streamtime, geez, the last thing you need, right, is another pop-up email, text message saying this deadline's coming up, or so-and-so tagged you on this. So all we do is we put a little blue dot in the top left, and if there's something there for you, you'll know it's there, and you'll get to it when you can get to it.
I guess if it's really urgent, someone will pick up the phone and call you,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. The software doesn't need to do it all, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's really urgent, you don't need this thing pinging off, right?
Yeah.
You just need, someone will come and see you, or someone will, and that's really my approach to these notifications.
Devices,
yeah.
If it's really important, someone will really try and get hold of me.
Yeah.
So we're very wary of the software not adding to all of that stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
Even to the point where, like, if things go wrong, let's try and not make it too red.
Yeah.
You know, nothing worse than, like, logging into something and seeing everything red.
Which seems to be kind of a universal language. That it's kind of the problem with design sometimes, that it becomes this norm and then everyone kind of follows.
Exactly.
Without really
best practice.
Stopping and thinking, is this really a good thing to do?
Yeah.
I haven't used the software myself, but I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were speaking highly about it. They were like,
it's
it's
so easy to use.
Yeah.
That, the thing about to do and done is literally from top of the screen to the bottom of the screen, and that's done.
Yeah.
And then you can visually see yeah. How much you have to do and how much you've done, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, like the whole experience, you know, about, you know, onboarding as a little guy walking, does that still happen? You know, when you,
I think we might have just taken that off. Well, because actually the company just got sold.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
Okay. So they've got new owners. And the little guy actually is a representation of his tiny Aaron, is a representation of the founder. So he's no longer with the business. So we actually have been slowly.
Oh, no.
Sort of but we haven't lost the idea that there's like this tiny world, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we kind of want to try and make better of, you know, creatives and clients and,
yeah,
you know, try and fight. And that's why, you know, rainbows and unicorns. And we know it's not always rainbows and unicorns.
Yeah.
Very rarely, maybe. But it's nice to try and bring some of that kind of, like, just make everything a bit softer.
Yeah. You know? Humanizing tech, man, that is
a big part
thing.
Of it. There's nothing more. Like, well, you mentioned the old stream time, right? Like, it's gray. Mm. It looks like a spreadsheet. Sounds like a spreadsheet. It is a spreadsheet.
You came up with a stream time idea back then, or how did you?
No, so I've been with the company for 5 years, but the way that I met Streamtime was Aaron, the founder, asked for the people to...
Right.
Okay.
Actually came to us to just say, hey, I'm redoing the product for the cloud. Can you, like, do some branding and a website to talk about it?
So this is a part of the story that I'm not aware of.
Yeah. So
I know about the rebrand, but not before that. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're an agency, it was the dream job, because actually Aaron pitched to us to work on this business.
Oh, right? Wow. Like, that's cool.
He wasn't talking to anyone else, and I remember going over to the office one day, he presented to me.
please
work on this. This is really what we want you to do. And Aaron is quirky. Like, he was, you know, so great to be able to work with, because he's just not like normal people, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so much common sense at times to just go, hey, we don't need to do that. Let's just get on with it.
Yeah.
The logo, I remember, is like three cubes stacked up.
That's right. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. 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 So we said, hey, that's cool. We'd love to work on it, but we don't feel like what is being built at the moment actually solves anything new. It's just literally a case of taking the old product into the future, into the cloud, and with an updated interface.
Right.
And so we said, like, let's find something to solve.
Mm.
And creatives hate timesheets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we were in our own business and we famously said, we're not doing timesheets. And if you tell that someone in an interview, they want
their
job.
Their eyes light up.
And no, it doesn't matter anything else.
You're not getting paid, but you're not doing timesheets.
Exactly. And so we kind of, like, we settled on that as a quite big insight early on, but also we did a lot of research with other agencies because we were very wary of just designing something for ourselves.
Yeah.
And we found, like, you go into other businesses and you just see all the different ways that people record time or record what they did. And so there's some that are, like, literally just writing stuff on paper, pass it to the studio manager, and the studio manager puts it into a system. Or people have, like, gone off and got their own apps and you know, they've got their to-do app. Yeah. And so then they'll write it down. Or there's one which literally people were given time sheets and it had, you know, like
task,
time, job number, print it out, stick it on somebody's desk to fill into the system. All of these, like, crazy things. And so we said, look, I mean, there's two things here that, like, can we kill two birds with one stone? Can we get something that records time but also records the fact that the task is complete and done? And can we do it in a fun way, please? Like, we're creatives. And so that's where this idea of this sort of drag and drop to do done thing came. And before we built it, we actually ran for the people for like a few weeks we had a big post-it note up on the wall.
Yeah.
And we used like system cards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think we were watching Silicon Valley at the time. Have you ever watched that?
Oh, yeah, so good.
Have you ever watched the episode where Jared, like, gamifies the devs and goes, here's all the tasks up on the wall? And
no.
So they start working a little bit faster and a little bit faster, and they're, like, taking the tasks and sticking it to
Dunno.
I'm not working faster. How come you guys about? I don't. This is just my normal pace.
We need to grab the tickets. Thing. Yeah.
Exactly. So we ran our business like that for a few weeks, and we put up these big post-its. You write down at the beginning of the week all the things you need to do, how long you thought it's going to take. Put it on a card, and you've got it up behind you. And then as you get these things done, you take it from to do to done, you update the time. And that is stream, like that is the to-do done screen in stream time, but we ran it on paper first for like a good few weeks.
So you went analog.
Yeah, and it was brilliant. It was like great to see. And you could also, it was visual, like you could see people in the office just going, oh yeah, great, I've done that, tick, done.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about a to-do list, right? Like there's that sense of achievement.
100%.
It gives you satisfaction, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's why it's designed the way it is, yeah.
Amazing. That's awesome, man. Yeah, I feel like I need to download create an account and start using the...
Well, I mean, it is, there's like a free version. I remember using, I'm not going to lie, I used the free version when I was, a freelancer, but I also used the paid version.
You can just jump in, you can create an account tomorrow.
Like, and I fell in love with the interface. But yeah, we also share the same analogy of not doing timesheets, right?
Because
it's just, back in the day, freelancing, you have to do timesheets twice, once for the studio that you were working for, and the other one, if you were going through the recruitment agency, you will do it for the recruiters as well.
We've actually talked about that recently.
And like, then they will have to match those at their end, I think so, I think something like that, so you could get paid.
I had so many emails on a Monday morning, like, from the recruiter going, hey mate, you're missing some hours, and I have to like run to the timesheet, make sure they match, send them so I can get paid, you know, because it was like a last minute pay run.
It's interesting. It's actually something that we've talked about, and we actually have been talking about actively recently, which is, what if we gave freelancers, I'm giving strategy away, what if we gave freelancers free accounts?
Mm. Yeah.
It meant that whenever they go and work into an agency, they've already got an account and they can use that, and you're using the same data, so you don't have that problem.
Right.
But also the other thing I like about it is that you keep your data. So like, you know how when you go for a job and you show your portfolio and someone goes, oh yeah, but did you really work on that? How much did you do on it? And you go, well, actually, I did 100 hours on concept development on that job because I've got the data to prove it, right?
It's already here. Yeah.
Exactly. So there's, I mean, that's, this is like a nugget of an idea. It would need thinking through significantly.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where it's like, actually, that's quite interesting. And it's idea of just understanding the industry, not just understanding, like for, when I see other project management systems talk, it is utilization, profitability, productivity, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Those things are important, right? Yeah. You do have to know your numbers for your business, but it's only half the story. The other half of the story is the people.
Well, there is the people that have to do timesheets, like the creatives, the people on the tools, and there's the people that have to look after the numbers of the business, right? And you don't have to create one solution that, I mean, you have to create a solution for each. That's what I'm trying to say, you know? And the to-do list is probably not gonna help the account manager. You know, I don't know, but
I mean, that's kind of how they.
But when you want the numbers, you don't have to see the numbers all the time. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I also feel like every other software, project management software that I've used, it's just overloaded with so much stuff in it. Like, I don't want to call names, but there's one in particular that I used recently. And
well, are you gonna get fined by your sponsor or something?
Yeah, well, no,
Monday no longer gonna.
Look, Hightail, no, it's
well,
not Hightail.
How can you tell? Harvest. That was exactly.
I know because a lot of Monday is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? I think Monday's cool.
All right, let's address the elephant in the room.
That's fine. But a lot of people come to us because Monday is, for some people, a sledgehammer trying to crack a nut.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like,
it can do so much.
It can
be
so powerful.
But, but you actually really need a lot of help to go, right, how do I set it up? Whereas obviously we're quite niche, right? Like we are for the creative industry. So the things are set up in a way that they're kind of, they're not out the box ready to go, but you know, it feels familiar.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people come from Monday to Streamtime, having tried it. Yeah.
Asking for a job from Monday to Streamtime.
No, I tell you, I can empathize with that because, I felt like it was doing, the cause and the intention obviously is there, but you know, then you start using the software and you realize, like it's trying to do so much that it's just so confusing,
and it's,
that it becomes kind of counterproductive in a way, you know.
So actually, no, like there's consulting businesses for Monday,
really,
right? Like they consult to put Monday into your business.
Right.
And so I think it's like it's just interesting of just where you play because. You know, when you get to that kind of size and that capability, then you are kind of almost an enterprise platform.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you need that much help to get it in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I've never used Monday at a small company. I've only used, you know, back in the day.
You're not missing out. Don't worry.
No, I've used it. I've used it.
Oh, for large scale.
But yeah, at enterprise level. Right. I've never used it. You know, freelancing for a three-person studio kind of thing. It was it was more stream time. Yeah.
Man, I mean, I guess, you know, going back to the point that you have like so many pieces to the pie. That's only one piece.
And we ended
to
up
pie.
Talking about software.
But exactly. I mean, and I really want to touch on that topic of mental health, because it's, you know, a recurring topic, as I mentioned in the conference, which I think is great. Also, earlier this year when we saw you at the panel at TDC, you know, that topic came up again. So tell us a little bit more about it, because I'm also curious. You come from advertising, which it's, you know, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it, it's well known for
a long
industry
hours.
That is not, you know, a synonym of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, but then, you know, you're kind of changing the narrative, even at stream time. Like, you look at this at the website, the way in which you sell the software, it's around mental health and, you know, making people's life better.
So
that's quite a shift, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, so this, I guess, it started, well, I don't know, when would this been, 2016, I guess, where I was having my own mental health challenges.
Yeah.
And so I've been diagnosed with anxiety and depression. I ended up in hospital one day. Doctors thought I was having a stroke. And things just got too much. And I realized that I needed to change something about my life and what was important. I think I'd spent years and years of going like, the work is the most important thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think... clearly, I've changed my mind about that now. And so, you know, and I actually got the chance. Luckily, I got the chance to change what I was doing by, you know, Aaron, who was the founder of Streamtime, saying, hey, you know, come out of the agency land and why don't you come help me run a software business?
Yeah.
And it took me, I mean, it took me a good hour. Oh, sorry, an hour? It took me an hour. It took me a good year to kind of make that decision to do that, because I was like, oh, software business. And it was like really blokey at the time. And I was like, oh, God, I don't know.
Right.
And at the same time, I just like, because I'd been diagnosed with anxiety and depression, I wanted to know more about it. And I kind of like turned it into a project.
Yep.
And I was doing more about it, I was reading more about it. I got asked to speak at Creative Mornings once, and I thought, you know what, why don't I just turn this into a presentation about my mental health and I'll come out and tell everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that was the best idea at the time, but it felt like it. And
How did you feel about doing that?
Because it was the reaction, like, just because you're so into something doesn't mean everybody else knows.
Yeah.
Well, one is into it, or two knows how to process that, right? So there would be people after that talk who, you know, I'd worked with like a few years ago or haven't seen before, and they come up and go, that was amazing, thank you. Like,
wow.
It helps me think about my own mental health. I've been struggling with this. It's that kind of, you know, we know that works. People with lived experience talking about it gives others permission to do the same. At the same time, there's people I saw every day who never mentioned it.
Yeah.
And so that was like, it was like, oh, just because I've got comfortable with it doesn't mean everybody else does.
It's not so easy to
It's
speak
not
up.
Easy. It's not easy at all. And so it's definitely easier now. And so when I moved to Streamtime, I was like, you know, I've got a bit more headspace. I was actually, at the time, I was only working 4 days a week. I don't have clients on to me. Sure, we've got customers, but you know, we look after them, but they can wait.
Yeah.
I got the headspace to go, well, maybe now. The other thing, I don't often tell this part of the story, which is I'd spent the last year working with the Australian Workers Union at For the People.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like heavily embedded into the union movement
And
people's rights at work
And
all of this kind of stuff. And it was just the best experience. One of the most like favorite projects I've ever worked. We launched a union for hairstylists whilst we were there.
Okay.
But in a different way. And so anyway, that I went full socialist, came back and found like my middle ground. And
you had to try it all though.
You do kind of have to dive in. I went to Socialism 2017, I think, I went to a conference. And I was amazed. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And
different crowd than this one.
Different crowd upstairs, definitely. And So yeah, so I guess then when I started stream time, it's like moved to stream time, and I started thinking about, oh look, how can I still do some of that work? Because I really love that kind of work and like this, you know, rights and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, you know, I'll start a community for the creative industry. I know the creative industry well. Mm. I know what happens. I know what, you know, I've been through. I know what other people have been through. I have a better understanding of the kind of things that you can do to get better things happen at work. Mm. And so those things kind of, and out came Never Not Creative.
Yeah.
Never Not Creative was actually a line written by a guy from For the People for Streamtime.
All right.
And it was really good, but then I was like, whilst I was there, I was like, oh, I'd love to actually use that for something else. And it felt like a good analogy kind of thing for what's going on in the creative. We're always on, we've always got to be doing this, we've always got to do that. And so, yeah, so I pulled it out of stream time, used it for Never Not Creative. And
then you have all the other projects under that umbrella.
Yeah, so then the first thing we did was the mentally healthy research. I was like, hey, I think there's a problem in the industry around mental health, but it's kind of, and once you start talking about it, you kind of, you like attract other people that are interested in it. I just wanted to make sure that like, this is a big thing. I think it is, you know, so let's go quantify it. And I went to a conference called Purpose, and the director of like a government agency called EveryMind that does research into mental health spoke there.
Okay.
They'd just done a study around the mental health of small businesses. Yeah. And I reached out and said, hey, can we take that study and can we adapt it to the creative industry? She's like, yeah, great. And that's how the study was born. Then we released the results and suddenly more people come out of the woodwork and go, you know, and we found more than half of people showing signs of mental ill health.
All right, okay.
And so everyone's like, yes, this is a big problem. We want to get involved. What can we do? Yeah. And things have just snowballed. Like, I'd love to say there was a big grand plan back then, but it's like you do, what I do like about what we do is that it's very evidence and data driven.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just an opinion. It actually comes every time we do that research. So we've done it three times now. It informs what we do next.
Right.
So, you know, the first time led to the minimum standards. The second time led to more work around empathy and the gap between leaders and the rest of their organization. This time, it's the systems approach, right? People can't keep telling us that the things that they want to improve their mental well-being with at work are to do with the work and us put on a yoga class.
Of course. Right? No.
Like, yeah. I know, I'm
meditation.
Exaggerating, but.
But we get the point.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's a massive responsibility, man, and I think if anything, like, respect for that, because, you know, I guess it isn't your typical project. You start it, you know, you work on it and deliver it.
It never stops.
It's beyond. Then, exactly.
It's part of, like, you are literally wearing the t-shirt.
Yes,
putting the t-shirt on. Well, thanks so much, man.
It's
been incredible to have these insights into the story, you know, corroborate the fact that, you know, all this, you know, the story around the taco truck and time. Thanks so much, man. And that's it. We'll catch you.
Thanks very much.
Catch you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Amazing. Thanks, bro.
Cool.